Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org.
Matthew 5, starting at verse 13, moving up to 16. The word says this: "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, and neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, here in this story, Jesus is about 9 months into his Galilean ministry, and this large crowd has shown up. They want to hear what Jesus has to say. And I would imagine that perhaps it would put any politician to shame. Any politician hitting the trails today. Word was spreading like wildfire. It was spreading that this young, charismatic Jewish carpenter was claiming to be the Son of God. And he didn't need TikTok or Instagram to go viral with this message. People were hearing and spreading the word. The miracles that he performed, the miracles were unbelievable. And his wisdom often left the intellectuals of that day, he would leave them speechless. And even his ability to teach complex spiritual truths through parables had the Jews and the Romans alike shaking their heads in amazement. Now, the Bible records that people would travel for days to see him. They traveled for days because his credentials were so intriguing. And sometimes they'd get nothing but this faraway glimpse of Jesus. And then sometimes, they would get up close and they could touch the hem of his garment. And something miraculous would happen. But in this sermon, Jesus is talking about and dealing with attitudes of the heart. And he challenges the proud and the legalistic people of this day. He challenges them to focus more on heartfelt obedience rather than legalism, rather than the laws that they so often were teaching. And I would imagine that he made them squirm, not just a little bit, but a lot. Because he didn't just tell the people that what they wanted to hear. No, what did he do? He spoke candidly, right? He spoke candidly and he spoke the truth in love. Again, he said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its flavor, if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again?" He says, no, it can't. It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Now listen, some of you maybe have heard the story and you know all about salt. I'm going to refresh your memories if you forget. Because in Jesus' day, salt was really valuable. It was expensive and it was a lot more rare than it is today. I doubt it was also quite as complicated. You tried to buy salt lately? I was told the other day I needed to buy Celtic sea salt. And you go to the store and the choices are immense. But back then, it was one type of salt. Did you know that soldiers would get paid in salt? They got paid in salt. We get the word salary from this word salt. Because it comes from the Latin word salarium. And in ancient Rome, it specifically meant an amount of money allotted to a Roman soldier to buy salt. The word salad also is derived from that word salt. And it began with the early Romans who would salt their leafy greens and vegetables. So today, salt is mined. But in ancient times, they got salt from the ocean, places like the Dead Sea, a really salty body of water. so salty that when you go there, you don't need a floaty or a life jacket. Anybody been to the Dead Sea? Have you ever floated on it? Yeah, you can float on it like my friend here, my friend Matt, who is from Israel, just floating on the water. In years past, people didn't have electricity. They didn't have electricity like us, so there were no refrigerators or freezers to store meat in. So salt was used to preserve the meat. And when salt loses its saltiness, it was taken on top of rooftops and it was thrown down because it was useless. Because why? Because a seasoning with no flavor, well, what good is it, right? What good is it? So this is what I love about Jesus' teaching. He's teaching them, and the people would have been able to relate. They knew exactly. They could envision it. They knew what he was talking about here. They knew that it meant if they were a Christian, if you lose your saltiness, then you're no longer good for anything. It's as if he was saying, Christian, if you make no effort to affect the world around you, then you're of little use to God. And so he's saying also to all of us, he says, friends here at Westview, friends here in Waukee, friends here in Iowa, if we're too much like the world, we're useless. We're worthless. And I think that our very affluent suburbs around this area need to be salty. We need to be really salty. And this nation needs us to be salty as well, right? If we're not, then I think we'll become like countries like Europe. And my daughter lives there. I've been to Europe several times. In first century Europe, the main religion was Christianity, but it looks really different there today. And I love it there. But when you go to the cities and you visit these amazing cathedrals, cathedrals like some of these that I've been to, Mount Tibidabo, the Basilica in Florence, St. Stephen's Cathedral in Vienna, they're gorgeous. They are absolutely stunning. I walk into those cathedrals and there are no words. But what's happened? They're monuments. They're monuments. People come in, tourists come in, and they just gaze. They gaze at the paintings. They gaze at the beautiful windows. But where's the worship of God? A tour guide tells about the history, and people just come to hear about God, to hear about the history, and how God used to be a part of their nation. And I may be exaggerating, but there have been places that I've been there where you can sense spiritual darkness. Can sense it. In a recent survey, it was actually in September, there's an institute called the Keller Center, and they released a survey for more than 1,000 people, and the findings, I think, were pretty noteworthy. They found this, that the American church is in the middle of the largest and fastest religious shift in history. Put quite simply, people are leaving churches at staggering rates. The researchers said that about 40, listen to this statistic, 40 million adult Americans who used to go to church at least once a month now attend less than once a year. Less than once a year. And the shift, listen church, the shift is larger than the number of conversions during the First Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening, and the totality of Billy Graham Crusades combined. So my question is this, how can we influence that? That can be kind of a downer, and I don't want to be a Debbie Downer this morning, but that can be a downer. But who is it up to start making a difference for people, to have conversation and invite them to come back? What can we do? In a podcast prior to his passing away, well-known theologian and pastor Tim Keller said this, and I think we have that, yeah, on the screen. We live in a culture dominated by non-Christian thought and themes about reason and science, individualism, relativism, materialism. This means that Christians must learn to integrate their faith with their work in the public sphere. Now, when we're equipped to do this, the gospel will become salt and light in culture more naturally than if we take a more political approach in which Christians seek to gain the reins of coercive power, or take a more withdrawn approach in which being a Christian is seen as something you only do in private with no application to every area of life. And so my question is, how do we do that? How do we integrate our faith? How do we integrate faith into our work? How do we become salt and light naturally in our neighborhoods, in our classrooms, in our day-to-day lives? Can we influence those who have left the church? Can we influence them by the things that we say, by the things we do, by the gestures that we make towards them? Jesus said, "By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples." Everyone will know you're my disciples. And so I think how we treat each other, how we talk about, how we respond to, how we care for one another, those are identifying marks of being a follower of Jesus. I love to read Andy Stanley. He wrote a book about a year ago called Not In It to Win It. And he said this, "It's not what we believe. Nobody knows and nobody is better off because of what we believe. Doing makes the difference. Doing makes the difference. Our love for one another should be," I love these words, "noticeable, notable, and distinct." Those are words you can write down. To be noticeable, notable, and distinct. And I want to be noticeable, notable, and distinct. Now, I'm not going to put on a Smurf suit like my husband did and start parading around Waukee. I'm probably not going to get a bus and paint it and get on top of it with a megaphone. But I think there are distinct ways that we can be people of love and people of grace, that we can be people of patience, that we can be people of self-sacrificing service. I think we can be people who in the holiday season ahead can recognize and care for people who are hurting, who've just lost a loved one, to look beyond our own selves and what's going on with us and reach out and love those around us. A person who lingers longer. And I'm guilty of this. I'm always on the go. But I've asked the Holy Spirit to just help me linger a little bit. Care for people. Listen. Because people want to be heard. What I know about this church is that you are salty. And I've been seeing you add flavor to the community around you. This summer, my grandkids played soccer here, out here. And it was their first time playing soccer. And I swear every Saturday that they played soccer, the temperature was about 90 to 100 degrees. And when it's about 90 to 100 degrees, what do? You drink a lot of water. And when you're 6 years old and you drink a lot of water, what do you have to do? Come in through these doors. Go to the bathroom. And when you're 6 years old, what happens when you're in the bathroom? You sing, and you look at your shoes, and you say, "Oh, Grandma, I like my shoes today." They talk, and they take 10 minutes. So while she's doing all of that, I'm standing out here by the drinking fountain, and I'm listening to the conversation that is happening with the people coming in through your doors, going down to, I'm assuming it's a food pantry, down in the basement. And we did that for about 6 weeks. And it just made me smile. And then I walked in here this morning and I saw your boxes and I saw what you're doing for single moms. You're being salty, church. Good job. But we also don't always have to depend upon our church to organize certain things, right? We can do that. We can be salt every single day. So thank you for being salty. You are the light of the world. A town on a hill that cannot be hidden. Jesus goes on. He talks now about light. So you need to be salty, but you also need to show light. You need to shed light. Now, my husband used to build and remodel homes. And when you're a contractor, builders are really meticulous about a lot of things, but in particular also about lighting. He's meticulous about recessed lighting. And I remember when we built our home, he had all these questions for me about lights. What kind of lights do you want above the bathroom mirror, Julie? I have no idea. Well, no, Julie, I know that you're going to have opinion, because if I don't put the right lights above the mirror, you're not going to like the way that your makeup looks. You're not going to like seeing your wrinkles. I don't want to see my wrinkles, Chuck. I have no desire to see my wrinkles. The only thing I care about is that the light is good enough to show that 3-inch hair on my chin. I don't even really want to see that. But lights, all these questions, blue lights, daylights, warm lights, down light, up light, 600 lumens, whatever. He wanted the right light to make me happy. He wanted to put the right light so that there were no shadows, so that there was no darkness in certain places. Because why? Light casts out darkness. He wanted the right light. And so we, friends, we're all light. We are light in our communities. You've been gifted in specific ways. You've been placed in a certain geographical location by God, appointed to make a difference, appointed to have a purpose. He's appointed the boundaries of your land, as it were. Acts 17, verse 26, in the Passion Translation says, from one man, Adam, he made every man and woman and every race of humanity, and he spreads us over all the earth. He set the boundaries of people and nations and determined their appointed times in history. So in other words, you are supposed to be here right now. You're supposed to be sitting by the person that you're sitting to. Right now, you're supposed to be here at Westview Church. Right now, you're in your job right now, because he's placed you there to be light in a dark world to your coworkers. And you may say, Julie, you have no idea how dark my workplace is. And to that, I would respond, then be light. You might say, but you have no idea how boring school is. I remember those days. And to that I would say, then be light. Be light to the kids who are not like you. You're here because Jesus cares about his lost sheep. You're here because God says, you're my plan. You're my plan to make a difference at Wells Fargo or at Casey's or at Principal or at high school or at UNI, wherever it is that you are, or in your neighborhood if you're retired. We're here as light to point others to Christ. And in another survey by Barna, who does a lot of research, they found that 80% of Christians have never, ever, or they don't think it's their responsibility to share their faith. 80%. So that means only 60% have shared their faith with someone in the last year. Only 60% have shared their faith. And he calls us to do that. Sometimes with words, sometimes without. Right? Paul wrote in the book of 1 Corinthians, he said, even though I'm free of the demands and expectations of everyone, I've voluntarily become a servant to any and all in order to reach a wide range of people, religious, non-religious, meticulous moralists, loose-living immoralists, the defeated, the demoralized, whoever. He said, I didn't take on their way of life. I kept my bearings in Christ, but I entered their world and tried to experience things from their point of view. I become just about every sort of servant there is in my attempts to lead those I meet into a God-saved life. And I did this because of the message. I didn't just want to talk about it. I wanted to be in on it. That's from the Message translation. And what he's saying here is he's saying to have an impact, to be light, to make a difference, then do everything you can short of sin. You have to go where they go. You have to be where the people are. You have to be where the people are. Just as Jesus told us, he said, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Can we read that again? The scripture is on the screen. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And you know, I don't want to be known as just one of those church people, one of those religious people. And so I try to get out and be like people that are not like me. And we need to all do that. We need to get around people who aren't like us, to get out of our church box and become friends with people who are not like us, who don't think like us. And then when you do, guys, we get this amazing opportunity to stand out like light. And then people start wondering, why is she so peaceful? Why does he seem so content in the midst of hardship? Why, when you just lose a wife, I heard it from two or three people today, that Levant's husband would just be is such a man of God, and even though he's grieving, he's showing light. When we practice the simple art of sharing our stories, when we have honest conversations, we have opportunities to share our faith in Christ, when we're hospitable, when we're caring, when we're welcoming, when we learn to listen more and talk less, when we learn to have conversations instead of debates, we show light. We show light. Well, most of us will probably never be a basketball standout like Caitlin Clark. And probably not too many of us will be ever on a big stage like Taylor Swift. A lot of us are probably much more like my husband Chuck, who likes to blend in, not wanting to be noticed too much. But one of the things that I love about my husband, after 45, not 43, years of marriage, is that he has such an ability to show Jesus and to show light and to be salt in his job. He's a home inspector. Some of you have had your homes inspected. And time again, he'll come home and he'll talk about a conversation that he happened to have with someone whose house he just inspected. He shares these conversations. The other day, we have a guy who washes our windows, and he's a little rough around the edges. And truth be told, I like to disappear when he comes. I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on in his life today? Not my husband. My husband will engage in conversation and show light to him. Friends, we get to reflect Jesus. We get to be Jesus by showing and having an active faith. Jesus was not passive, right? His faith and what he did was active. It was active. You don't put a light under a bowl, Jesus says. You put it on a stand. And some of the ways that we hide our light, we do it when we're quiet, when we should speak. We hide our lights when we go along with the crowd, or when we deny the light, or when we dim our light. We hide our light when we don't explain our light, when we have opportunities with others. We hide our light when we ignore the needs of the people around us. We hide our light when we choose to live in unforgiveness. And somebody today may need to deal with that. Because always at the holidays, this bubbles up. And I wasn't going to put this in my script, but I feel like I was supposed to today. So if you're that person, if you're living and there's someone that you haven't forgiven and it's causing you to just to dim your light, then I'm going to encourage you to deal with that and to seek forgiveness and go to that person and ask for forgiveness. Jesus challenges us. He challenges us to stand out. He says, stand out. Show your light. Because when we shut off our lights, friends, when we shut off our lights, who's going to make a difference? Who's going to see Jesus? This world needs Jesus. And it doesn't happen through an inanimate object. It happens through people like all of you. It happens when we love the grieving. And when we feed the hungry. And when we listen to the lonely. When we have a conversation with someone. Like I just had the other day, someone who's tormented inside and is actively dying. And I had to say, you do you know, that Jesus loves you and you can love him in return. In this season, friends, I pray that you'll turn on your lights. We can bring the lights back on. I pray that you will turn on your lights in multiple ways in the season ahead and be Jesus' light and be his salt. Turn on your lights. Let's be standouts for Christ as we move into the holiday season ahead. Will you pray with me? God, I thank you for your word that is a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. And Father, as you light the way, I pray that your words, what we read, what we see as we gather together to sharpen one another, and as we move forward into the holiday season ahead, I pray that we would be a people who show your light and that we'd be a people who are salty and make a difference. God, we thank you for your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.